listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
Third and final hour of Miller and Moulton for those listening on this first Tuesday in July, whether it be in Tampa, St. Pete, Port Charlotte, and Venice, or Lake City and surrounding areas. Hope you had a great 4th of July weekend. Thanks for starting, for many of you, your work week with us, Miller and Moulton, the Florida Sports Network, floridasportsnetwork.com. Pat Kerwin's kind enough to join us on this Tuesday. He, of course, moving the chains, weekday afternoons NFL radio. Pat joins us courtesy of Pinchers, from Tampa to Key West and over a dozen locations in between. Pinchers, because you can't fake fresh. Pat, how was your 4th of July holiday?
On Cape Cod, one of my daughters had a house up here, so really good. Fun, and I feel like I was running a day camp for like the last 3 days. So
maybe you need a day back at work, is what you're saying?
I am locked in an office in their house and very happy to stay here all day.
Pat, during the summer during the summer months, though, when you think you're running a day camp, do you ever once in a while start analyzing them the same way you break down the offensive lines and the tight ends for every team?
You know, it's funny you say that. I did not play lacrosse, but I was telling two of them, you can't handle a stick that way. So I said, look at your father, who was my son. I said, he played lacrosse. Do you ever see him sliding his hands up and down that stick like that? No. Well, that's what, if you keep doing that, you're going to get checked every time and the puck and the ball's coming out. So, yeah, you start coaching all the time, but I got to shut up. But I'm hiding in this room today, and hopefully it rains.
Anybody doing any work this week? Or literally, is this the week in which there's seven people in the office building? Is there anything going on this week in any of the 32 franchises?
Yeah, I think it's never ending. So we know that Mrs. Robinson is working on her decision and the NFL is working on theirs. So there's always the legal stuff going on. But I do think the pro personnel people take advantage of this time to set their emergency board, which we talked a little bit about last week. And now that you kind of see the rosters are set up pretty much for camp, you always, as a pro guy, I was a pro guy for a while. I love that job. But you have to anticipate injuries on day one, and you have to anticipate the head coach and the GM coming down to your office and wanting to know who's available, who's healthy. Have we worked them out? What are the final grades on these guys? So those pro guys, if they're doing their job, for them, they're getting their ducks in order. And if they have pro scouts, like I had a bunch of pro scouts, we might be double-checking like 20 guys. Okay, look, they never signed this guy. Why? Let's go find out. So those guys are doing stuff. The college guys aren't doing anything. The coaches are absolutely chilling out, trying to make believe this vacation is going to last a long time, play a little golf and fish. A lot of them are golfers or fishermen. So, yeah, it's pretty quiet, but pro personnel guys are taking care of business.
Are those the guys, Pat, the pro personnel guys that would have been watching the USFL Championship and paying attention to that league? And is that where we would see any of these guys that might make a training camp roster come from?
Yeah, absolutely. So, let's say, for the sake of discussion, there's 10 running backs on your board that are free. That would be, at some level, candidates to replace an injured player on your roster. Now you take those guys from the game and from the league, and you say, okay, do any of them fit in the top 10? Is there anyone that would bump out one of these guys on the board? And sometimes you do. You have a guy and you say, right now we consider him number 8 or 9 on the board. And so the board's not real deep right now, but you got to remember that when 32 teams start practicing, there are injuries in, I don't know, the first day there's going to be injuries in 7 or 8 teams. And if 5 teams have a running back go down, that little list that you have, basically everyone else has, probably in a different order, and then now you're scrambling to sign a guy. And so, yeah, I think there's a couple of them. Unique positions, punters, kickers, long snappers, those kind of guys, I mean, you can evaluate them with a stopwatch and accuracy on kicking. So, yeah, you probably will place a couple of them in there. And some positions you realize, like offensive line, you might have to have 25 names. And that doesn't mean they're all good. It just means next guy up if we lose someone. And then you got to look at you got to stack the list also by how much they cost. You might have no cap space. And so when you lose a guy, you're really looking for the bare minimum. And hopefully you can get that kind of guy in there. Some teams have a lot of cap space, and they're going to want to go after the best guy. And then there's still tradable guys out there. And, you know, you start thinking about, you know, you're not, if you're the pro guy, you're not calling the other team to say, hey, let's talk deal here. No pro guy is calling the Cleveland Browns to orchestrate a trade to Baker. But you're just trying to put all those things in order. Because you know, as soon as we hit the camp, and it might even be guys that fall off the plane and break an ankle, you just have to start thinking about all that. That's the deal. I used to like that job because they need you all of a sudden, and you better be on your game. You cannot say things like, well, we'll watch some tape and get back to you in an hour. You say that, and that guy signs with the club down the street, you might as well just pack your bags and go home.
He's Pat Kerwin. NFL Radio's Moving the Chains, weekday afternoons. He's also part of CBS's NFL Today show. Pat joins us at least once a week and twice a week during the hardcore part of the season, courtesy of Pinchers from Tampa to Key West and many points in between Pinchers, because you can't fake fresh. All right, two-part question. First part, did you watch any of the USFL championship game Sunday night?
I did not. I'm not in pro personnel anymore.
Okay. And secondly, like, there were a couple running backs, and you and Jim have been going through position groups on your show. Like, I watched Bo Scarborough, former Alabama standout running back, and I thought to myself, man, the Steelers, you know, outside of their starter, they don't have guys who really we think are really NFL caliber. I mean, I'm just wondering, you know, do you think 7, 10, 12 guys are going to get signed between now and training camp from that league to fill, you know, spots 89 and 90 on the training camp roster? Or do you think that league is being largely ignored?
I think it's ignored in one sense. I mean, anyone who's been in this business a long time remembers guys coming out of the USFL the first time, NFL Europe, and a lot of them are physically fatigued. I mean, what they need is a rest. If you bring them to camp right now, you really haven't done your job with your own roster. You built that roster while those guys were playing, and you had that chance to sign every one of those guys before that league started, and people passed on all of them. You bring up an interesting guy, though. So Big Bo, and everyone knows him in the league, so he's got an NFL grade from people, and he went and played. So if you're a team that loves big power backs, or you don't have one anymore, or you want a backup, let's use Tennessee as an example, you feel like, you know, we want to get a guy behind Derek that can make the team, but also we don't have to stop this run scheme that we have with Derek. So you might think of him as a guy that you'd like to put on your roster. If you have big plans in Green Bay to give the kid from Boston College more work, then you might say, you know, let's get another one in here. But most of the guys on the USFL guys are going to wait now and use them as pieces when injuries happen. I don't think they're going to say, because when you go to I should have said this first. If I go down the hall, or call the head coach who's on a golf course right now trying to relax for 2 weeks and say, hey, coach, I just got done grading Bo Scarborough. We thought he played pretty well in the USFL, and we'd like to cut one of our guys and put him on the roster as player number 89 or 90. He's going to go, nah, you know what? We just got done with OTAs. We're going to go with what we have for the first week of practice. If we don't like somebody, no one's had pads on yet. So all these new guys, college free agents, when you put the pads on and you go, I don't think he's tough enough, or you know what, he doesn't run as big as he is. A lot of that happens. He looks like a big power back, but he's not. Then all of a sudden you can make a case to bring in Big Bo. That I think is how that'll happen.
Pat, it's you know, as I'm listening to you, and I get it, the factory is college football, but it sounds like to me down the road, this league has a lot of potential because there's not room for the guy who improves after college for the NFL. I mean, you either get in the league or you're done. And it sounds like the USFL could at least provide the opportunity for someone to get better, because we watch players who make teams continuously get better, but there's nowhere for that guy to go to get better, is there?
No, there's not. And so the history of these minor leagues, and I don't say that in a negative sense, is that players, just to your point, Mark, they go from underdeveloped or cut in camp the first year out of college to playing. And I will say this, there's a lot of guys coaching in that league that really know pro football. They know the NFL game. They know there's two guys on their team, so there's going to be a lot of calls to those guys, especially coach to coach. Oh, so you like Bo Scarborough. Now I'm trying to sell Scarborough to the head coach. He goes, okay, who's he playing for? He's playing for Tampa. Oh, good. I'm going to call up their head coach, Todd Haley, and I'm going to say, hey, Todd, can he play in our league? No, coach. You know, or yes, he sure can. So you're going to get a lot of that. Now, if you get that into the equation, and so many of the guys in that league have coached NFL football, then those endorsements mean everything at some point. And I think most of the coaches in that league are not trying to hide their players to keep them for next year. They are going to help those guys get to the NFL, because when they get cut, they're going to come right back to them at the USFL if that happens. So there's merit to that, and most of the guys will be double-checking with those coaches. Those guys will give the biggest endorsement that'll get a guy into camp.
Well, Pat, you know, make something up as to why it is you have to hang out in that room, you know, for hours this morning,
well,
okay?
I already did. Once you guys hang up, I won't be taking my headset off. I'm just going to leave it on.
He's Pat Kerwin. You will hear him later this afternoon, Moving the Chains, NFL Radio. And he joined us once again, courtesy of Pinchers. Pat, all the best on your vacation that you don't want.
Yes. I'm working on quarterbacks. I can't leave the room. See you later.
Pat Kerwin, kind enough to join us again here on Miller and Moulton. No, don't bother Grandpa. Look, he's got his headset on.
He's working on the third string quarterbacks in the National Football League today.
Either that or he's calling up his friends and he's talking to them through the headset. Miller and Moulton, thanks so much for being with us right here on the Florida Sports Network.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network.
21 minutes past the hour, Miller and Moulton, Florida Sports Network, floridasportsnetwork.com. And that's where you go for our poll question, in which we look back at, well, the hot dog eating contest from yesterday. We got talking about it. Nobody's given Joey a contest, even. We think they got to bring Kobayashi back. Redo the rules. I don't care. He left for a rival league a decade ago.
Right. Is that rival league still in business?
Yeah. I mean, come on. Let's get him back in. I mean, come on. Joey won by 20 hot dogs yesterday.
Right. I mean, if Brooksy and DeChambeau can start getting along, can't we bring Kobayashi back with Chestnut?
Yeah. I mean, raise the purse, for goodness sakes. But it then led to a discussion about whether or not I should enter, because the feeling is amongst us that I could at least do half of what Joey Chestnut does based on a 2-minute hot dog eating contest that I was in, I don't know, 10 years ago.
Every bit of that.
And then that led us to, you know, one of the reasons why I didn't enter into the hot dog eating contest at the local level all those many years ago was I thought it would be embarrassing.
And I don't think that there were a multitude of reasons. I actually think that was it. Like, I think we discussed it, and you just looked at me and went,
it'd be embarrassing.
I'd be embarrassed to do this. I can't do it. It's embarrassing. And that was the word you kept going to. And you know I'm prodding him on, trying to get him to do it.
Right. And you know, I don't embarrass easily. I mean, you know, when you do something public for a living for 35 plus years, you don't embarrass easily. But I really think that that might be, and I've tried a lot of different things, you know, a couple of zany things over the years, whether it was local TV or radio, but anyway, so that led to our poll question.
So if David Moulton qualified for the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, how would you feel about if someone close to you qualified for the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, how would you feel about that person, David? Proud or embarrassed? And right now, 70% of our audience is proud, 30% is embarrassed. I think I'm going to need those numbers to be 75-25 to get Moulton to do this. I think anything shy of three-quarter vote could hurt our chances of David Moulton becoming the competitive eater that we all know he's got right there.
Yeah. There's a couple of things, you know, going on today. The other one was that I had a haircut
and it looks great. Our Twitch numbers are through the roof, and I think it's fully because of your haircut.
I had a haircut in which literally while during the haircut, the person cutting my hair went, oops, and called over the manager / owner, and she went, and I quote, oh boy. All right. So, and I don't know if any of you have ever had that happen before during a haircut. And in this case, normally, you know, and I have no idea what each number represents, but I get it cut at number 3 on the sides. Well, something happened in which, you know, the whole right side of my head there got cut at a 1. And, it, you know, it's like all of a sudden you show up at the football field and the red zone has been triple cut. You know, the rest of the field's at a certain level, and then all of a sudden the stimp meter in the red zone is 18.
I was going to say, David, the sides of David's head are running at a 14 right now.
There's
this
no
is Augusta National.
Exactly. Exactly. And the players are going, man, if it's this fast on a Thursday, what is it going to be like on Sunday? So they then shave the whole rest of the head except for the big divot that's on top of it. That's hair. And I hate it. I think it's one of the 3 worst haircuts I've ever had in my life. And every single person that I ran into over the next 48 hours really likes the haircut. We've talked about this before on this show. My wife never notices a haircut of mine, ever. I walked in the door from just running errands, and I walked in the door, and my wife went, ooh, nice haircut. Now, you know, when you've been married 26 years, to get an ooh, you know, before noon.
Right. That's like a mighty nooner these days.
That's just closest I'm going to get. So, daughter loved it, you know, was doing the whole FaceTime thing with the granddaughter, and she goes, ooh, Dad, your haircut. I really like it. It makes you look younger. Oh, for goodness sakes.
Both Felipe and I think it looks good. And it's not, is not piling on. I'm like, I've resisted the whole show.
The only person that is on my side is my mother. She doesn't like it.
I think she's just being nice.
Nope. She even said, and here's why, and told me her reasoning. So everybody on Twitch loves it, thinks this needs to be my new look.
One of the biggest audiences we've had on Twitch in a long time. People just running to see the haircut.
Unbelievable. So between the haircut and the hot dogs, this is a tough show for me. This really is. I am bothered by the fact that, you know, nobody can give Joey Chestnut a contest here. That's ridiculous. I mean, this is like U.S. men's tennis. Are we really this bad off?
We can't get anybody in the country that can knock down 60 dogs. I mean, just to even make it a fair fight.
Right.
I don't care if Chestnut wins, but can we have a fair fight?
Wasn't there somebody a couple years ago, 2-3 years ago, that like really battled him late? Like, you know, Chestnut had to get into the 70s because this guy got in the 60s. I mean, you know, nobody got within 20 of them yesterday. Are you kidding me?
There's some random dude out there.
Yeah.
There's got to be, and his name's David Moulton. Someone asked, didn't you guys do a steak eating contest once? And we did at Shoeless. They have their 48-ounce porterhouse on the menu. And David and I were both entered into the contest. And I think David finished second.
I did. And we both thought I won it, but they said that there was like, you know, literally.
Apparently, he needed to pick the bone up and start gnawing off of it.
Yeah, apparently I left a very small piece of meat on it, and they said that it cost me. So, yeah, I finished second.
Because I finished fourth, because I looked up at one point, and I said, I can't catch Moulton and the other guy, so I started enjoying the rest of my steak. I had the 48-ounce steak in around 8 minutes. David was about 6:30.
Yeah.
And I think I could have been right around the 7-minute mark, and I just looked and knew that I had no shot, so I kind of calmed down.
So, you know, A, I can eat, and B, I can eat fast. So,
well, we've done most of our eating during commercial breaks. Yeah. We've been competitive eating for 15 years.
In fact,
I've
been doing it since I was 9. Right? My mother, you know, she worked 3 jobs. Can't tell you how many times she picked me up when we showed up at McDonald's or wherever it was, and she said, we got 15 minutes. Okay.
Doesn't seem to be a problem.
Let's go. Yep. Can I get a second cheeseburger with that, Mom? And her answer would be, if you can eat it in 15 minutes.
Love the people that have texted the show today to tell us that David's haircut looks great.
Oh, man.
Very appreciative. Oh. If you've never texted the show, the keyword is FSN Radio. The number is 21,000. You can text the show that way. You can get a hold of us on Twitter, that Mark Miller, the David Moulton on Twitter. And you can find any part of the show that you missed at floridasportsnetwork.com and any of the usual places where podcasts are at.
Don't know if the big story in sports today is going to be from Wimbledon. Don't know if it's going to be Colorado, Utah, Arizona, Arizona State meeting with the Big 12. I mean, hey, meeting goes well, Big 12 can make an offer. Hell, they could accept it. I mean, I'm assuming the people meeting with the Big 12 are in a position, they got to be the decision makers, right?
Well, yes.
You would
and
think.
Here's the other part of this. At least no one's really gone, you know, yet. Miami fan is on Twitter saying they want to go to the Big Ten, but we've not heard any rumblings of anybody going after the ACC. It won't happen until Notre Dame figures out what they're doing because no one's leaving the ACC with the cost preventative measures that are put in place until Notre Dame's made their decision and, quite frankly, until the Big Ten makes them an offer.
Well, and I don't know what school wants to be the first to challenge the ACC. I think they're all might be looking at one another going, let's all make the move together. Miller and Moulton, we've got some numbers that may interest you next.
Welcome back to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network.
Minutes until we're out of here in Tampa, St. Pete, Port Charlotte and Venice, and Lake City and surrounding areas. The bonus hour begins at the top of the hour for those in the 239. Thanks so much for, well, listening to Miller and Moulton on the Florida Sports Network, floridasportsnetwork.com. That's where you go for our poll question, which is if you knew someone close to you, and they were in the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, would you be proud? Would you be embarrassed?
We'd be proud, David. We'd be proud.
I don't know if you're just saying that because it's me and you're just egging me on for selfish reasons or if
yes,
you're being genuine.
Yes, 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 and yes. But I'd still be proud of you. When I saw those fatheads of Chestnut with the mouthful of hot dogs, I was just thinking of having a fathead of Moulton at the event. And holding up the big, I mean, Felipe and I would be there with big sticks and we'd be going nuts.
Really? You'd be there. You'd be there. Next
David,
year.
David, I'm not joking.
4th of July is on a Tuesday.
Well, first off, you got to get to New York.
Right.
I'm talking about the regional. If the regional was within a 150-mile drive, I think half of our Twitch audience would show up to watch you.
Oh, come on.
Oh, my God. No, that would be amazing.
Well, I don't know if I'd tell anybody where it's at.
That's where I come in.
Right behind you, Mark. Right behind you.
Just, you know, if I do this, just let me do it in silence.
No!
No.
This is do your whole damn life in the public eye, and maybe your greatest achievement would be in silence?
Hold on. This would be my greatest achievement?
If you made it to New York?
I grew up an hour away.
Yeah. But that was just by birth. This is by invitation to one of the elite sporting events in our nation.
It's not a sporting event. It's eating. It's an eating contest.
Oh, so you really don't consider eating a sport, huh? Since when?
Don't disrespect Joey Chestnut like that.
Eating is not a sport.
We certainly have treated it like one.
Top 10 North American athlete of all time.
It is not a sport.
So I don't think it can be done in silence if you're going to do it. And you know what? As Yinzer points out, you've spoken very highly of your competitive eating, what you think skills are. Like you've said on this show today, I can get to 32. Without batting an eye, you've said it very matter-of-factly that you can get to basically half of what Chestnut did.
Yes.
Which I think is going to put you in top five in the country right now.
Is that top? Would that really have been top five yesterday? I mean, it wouldn't have won the women's division. I mean,
I got you, but
she ate 40.
She finished second, didn't she?
No. I think there was a guy with 44.
All right. So it's still.
Yesterday's field was pathetic. I'm sorry.
Well, that, I think, is a problem. I think competitive eating's reached its peak, thank goodness.
But it's not, you know, that could have been the poll question. Do you consider it a sporting event?
No.
No. Okay. Thank you.
Come on. I'm just having a little fun.
All right. Good. Well, I'm glad.
There has to be competitive chicken wing eating.
There
right?
is. There's damn near everything that they're eating.
Now you go flats there. If you had the option to go drums or flats, what would be faster for you?
Flats. Because you just suck them right off the bone.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's what I was thinking.
All right. We got numbers.
We do. And not the how many days until numbers.
Right.
But in the course of the last couple of days, week one spreads have come out. We start right out with the Thursday night game, Bills and Rams.
65 days away, ladies and gentlemen. 65 days away.
And according to the Caesar Sportsbook, the Rams are a mere one-point favorite against the Bills. And I actually, looking at this with different lines, FanDuel and DraftKings have the Bills as a one-point favorite. So this game is a virtual pick'em to get the season started.
Well, the Bills are a better Super Bowl bet right now than the Rams are.
Yes, they are.
Which is interesting.
But the game's in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
So a one-point spread in that one. And I love the beginning of the season. For the Bucs are a two-point favorite on the – two-and-a-half-point favorite on the road taking on Dallas week one.
A rematch of week one last year. Terrific Thursday night game in which the Bucs won at the gun.
The Dolphins a two-and-a-half-point favorite against the Pats to open up the season at Hard Rock.
Only 2.5, huh? That's interesting to me. By the way, people in the last 3 days, though, like the 4th of July weekend, NFL people decided we're going to talk up the Jets. It was a very interesting groupthink that's taken place in the last 3-4 days. Everybody trying to talk up the Jets.
Why?
And say things to the effect of they think that maybe... Like, you and I both think the Lions will not finish last this year.
Right.
We think the Bears will. And we're not saying we think the Lions are going to be a good team. We just think that they're not going to finish fourth. And people think that, you know, remember, Joe Douglas did have a great draft. You know, the 3 first-round picks, got the Florida State guy, and then got traded up in the second round, got the best running back, a lot of people thought. In the draft, early in the second round. So, you know, they just think that with some of his drafting in the last couple of years that the Jets could really surprise people this year. And it caught me by surprise.
The Jets, for the record, since I have them all in front of me, open with the Ravens. The Ravens are anywhere between a 4.5 and 6-point favorite, depending on the book.
Now, that game is in Jersey, right?
Yes.
So that's Baltimore as a 5 to 6-point favorite on the road week one.
And for the rest of the Florida teams, just to get it in there, the Washington Commanders are a 4.5-point favorite against the Jags. hosting the game at FedEx Field are the Commanders.
All right. So Bucks, 2.5 road favorite. Dolphins, 2.5 home favorite. Jags, 4.5 home dog. Thank you very much.
Russ is anywhere between a 3.5 and a 4.5 point favorite as the Broncos go to Seattle week one.
I'll be there. That'll be interesting. I think he gets a rousing ovation, and then he gets booed the rest of the game.
Who's the home team for Raiders at Chargers? Who will have more fan support at SoFi?
The Raiders.
Like, it won't be close, will it?
I think it'll be at least 2-1.
Right.
I mean, when the Rams host the Niners, it's 60-40 Niners, at least in the regular season game. Rams organization and fans did a much better job of making that 50-50, maybe even slight edge Rams fans for the NFC Championship rematch there. But, for the regular season finale, it was well over 60% Niners.
Two biggest numbers on the board week one for those of you that care. San Francisco is a 6.5-point favorite on the road at Chicago. And the largest number out there is Houston. And they are taking on Indianapolis, where the Colts are a 7.5 to an 8-point favorite on the road in Houston.
Wow. That's a pretty big road favorite.
Right. Tennessee at home, 6.5 favorite over your Giants, David. Those are the three biggest numbers on the board. Everything else inside of that magic touchdown marker. Cincinnati had actual touchdown. They're a 6-point favorite over the Steelers.
Okay. At home. Take the Steelers out of the equation. I think Jacksonville, 4.5-point home dog to a team that has not been above 500 for a few years. Even though they won the division 2 years ago, they did so with 7 wins. So that's Jacksonville.
Right.
Houston, a big home dog to
Indianapolis.
The Giants, a significant home dog.
Road dog. Oh, the Giants are on the road. They're at Tennessee.
Gotcha. And then Chicago's a significant
home dog.
I mean, this is also Vegas letting you know who we think the really bad teams are going to be here. I'm telling you, the Bears have a chance to pick first overall. I really think it's going to be a bad year for the Bears. I hate what the new GM did. He spent the really valuable draft picks drafting a secondary. They got rid of Mac. The other defensive lineman's likely to be traded here at some point.
Their offensive line's bad.
Their best receiver left. You know, they got one running back. This is going to be now another system for the second-year quarterback. And I don't think they've done anything. You know, for as much as we have said in the past, the Jets and at times the Dolphins and other organizations have committed organizational malpractice. Think what the Bears have done the last two off seasons to make life better for Justin Fields. It's awful. Awful. He's got one of the 5 worst offensive lines. He's got one of the 5 worst skill position groups in the league. And now he's on his second coach and second coordinator. And now he doesn't even have a veteran backup. I mean, he had Nick Foles he could turn to. I mean, Nick's a great teammate. Even though he was third string last year, Nick will help anybody out. He is a good dude. Who's he going to turn to this year?
And as you mentioned, their skill positions are bad. They have no running game.
They got the one running back.
I know.
That's
but
it.
He's done nothing.
Well, the line's awful.
And they don't give him, and they hadn't given him the ball, so we don't even know if he was good.
Montgomery?
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's a good back.
He's a good back, but he's been underutilized and underperformed in the time he's been in Chicago. We don't know if it's the running back or the system or the line or a combination of all of it because he's not lived up to what he was supposed to do. You can blame most of that on the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, I blame all of it on the coach and the GM. Matt Nagy's play calling and then the GM for that offensive line. But I just think you got to be all in. I mean, look at the difference the Jets their approach with their second-year quarterback and look at the approach that the Bears have had with their second-year quarterback in terms of the pieces that they have put around them since the moment they drafted him. I'm not talking about even before that. The Jets have done what? They have invested in guys around their quarterback. The 2021 draft was about offensive linemen. And the Carter, the running back from Carolina. And what's the acquisitions been since? It's been the wide receivers and the tight ends and the running backs. I mean, they're going to get to the point which is going to be like, well, kid, we've done our job. Now it's up to you. Justin Fields, meanwhile, is going to be out there alone. Alone. But, hey, they got a young secondary. That'll help them.
Well, that'll be great as Aaron Rodgers picks that apart because, well, the offense can't contain any, cannot sustain any drives to stay on the field.
Did you see the Rodgers stat last 2 years, NFC North games? 12 games against the NFC North.
Right.
Last 2 years. 38 touchdowns, no interceptions.
It does warrant the draft picks.
Or the can spin it the other way and go, well, I got to score points to beat these guys. Miller and Moulton. So we went through all the games there?
I think we got, there's a few more. Saints and Falcons. The Falcons are getting 4.5 in that one. At home, there's a bunch of home dogs. Like the Lions are a 4.5-point home dog.
You know what's interesting? The last 2 years since we've gone to 17 games, remember how we always had the 16-game stat? That it averaged for a 15-year period of time that half the winners, week one, 8 out of 16, made the playoffs, and a quarter of the losers, 4 out of 16, made the playoffs. That's how it averaged. And those would be your 12 playoff teams. Last couple years, it's been a higher percentage than that. I mean, very few teams who have lost week one have made the playoffs the last 2 years since they've gone to a 17-game season.
Just curious right now, the Browns are playing the Panthers week one. I don't know which team Baker Mayfield's playing for. But there's a line in this game, even though we have no idea. I guess we can assume Jacoby Brissett's starting.
Against Sam Darnold. Right.
Browns laying 3.
On the road?
Yeah. Huh.
Well, they're a lot better. I mean, I guess.
I think you just jump that line and hope that Baker's playing for him by the time week one comes along.
Playing for who?
The Browns.
I think there's a better chance he's playing for the Panthers.
I know.
Will Baker Mayfield even be in a training camp
no.
All of us do our fantasy drafts?
Ooh. Now you're talking mid to late August. Yes, by then. An injury will bring him in somewhere. But he won't be on a training camp roster to start training camp.
And most training camps, rookies in a couple weeks, veterans in 3 weeks. Miller and Moulton, thanks for listening. Florida Sports Network.